a hurricane, would you go down to the basement?
She's there to save her dad. This is Pop Culture Man Children, PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm here today with Mr. Vin Forte.
Oh, my God.
You know him from many episodes of this show. He's on all the time.
Yeah.
Last episode you did was the Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
That was a fun one.
It was fun. Everyone loves cartoons.
Absolutely. So, Vin,
Everyone loves learning about Rick Moranis's Monster High or whatever that was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's better than his, country albums or whatever he does now.
Oh, yeah, My Mother's Meatloaf or whatever that's called.
Boy,
I know some hardcore Moranis heads that love that album. Some manic Moranis fans.
Ever see Parenthood with
Steve Martin?
Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Moranis is kind of an asshole in that, and it makes me wish like he had really done a villain turn, because I think he could have been really good at it.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up Parenthood, because that's a movie that, there's like a subsection of 90s movies that I feel like flew so far under the radar that like, we don't think about them when we think of like a comedian's like canon.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was in the store the other day and I saw a DVD of Bulletproof.
With Adam Sandler?
Yeah. And I feel like that's one where it's like...
That was a good, like, white cop, black cop, buddy, we're stuck together.
Yeah, and it was, like, right around the time of, like, Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore. Yeah, it doesn't get the same... And, like, Adam Sandler definitely has, like, the highbrow... Like, the few highbrow things he does and, like, the lowbrow stuff.
This and that like was, like, definitely comedy.
On the... Yeah, that was definitely more on, like, the highbrow end. But, like,
I don't know why I'd say highbrow.
Well,
but
no,
it's not...
but, like, for more refined movie.
It's definitely one of his only movies that he's just in, that he's not bankrolling. Because that's the problem with him. Because, did you see
Before we finish, I would put Life in that category as well, the Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence.
Oh, yeah, movie. Yeah, yeah. I liked Life.
Life was good.
Although it's a very depressing comedy.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very depressing comedy.
So is Holy Man.
What is it? It's two African-American men who spend their entire lives... in a prison work camp for crimes they didn't commit.
What is this, 2019?
What is this, the story of Always America?
Yeah, what is this?
There's so much news, Vin. Vin, this is Pop Culture Man Children. Now, I don't know if you know this, but if you go out, if you hang around schoolyards, which I know you want to do... you hear the kids say PCMC, PCMC. Hey, you got that PCMC?
I was gonna say, it sounds like a drug.
Hey, did you hear PCMC last time? Yeah, Vin was really good. Yeah, I like that Rick Moranis riff they went on. That's what that, and then a cop will, an old fashioned like Irish cop.
You fucking kid doing PCMC?
What are you doing in here? What are you doing? And they're like, I got it from him. And they point to me on the other side of the fence, and I fucking run away awkwardly. I'm like, ugh. So that's, I think, the perfect pitch for the show, right?
Yeah.
It's a pop culture
It's
podcast.
Drugs for your kids.
Yep. Pop culture. It is movies. It's video games. It's toys. It's TV. It's
pornography.
No, we've never really gotten to pornography.
Would you ever do like a full-on pornography episode, or you think that's
I don't
too,
think
like...
there's much there's a lot to say, but I don't know if it I have a lot to say about it.
Yeah,
maybe I would do an episode on like Misty Monday and like the sort of like early 2000s
like the
Showtime,
yeah,
like Lord of the G-Strings or Pirates of the G-Strings. There's a lot of G-Strings.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, every movie, and they all have the same cast.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, Misty Monday, Nicole Sheridan.
Yeah.
That fucking meathead guy that was like a caveman.
Yes, yes. Yeah, they were all...
The Asian twins.
What a canon. Yes, I remember that.
They bust them out for, like, sci-fi ones where it's like, we clone these women.
Oh, boy. Just in case it wasn't problematic enough.
Yeah.
So maybe I do that. But we've not done that so far.
The whole special on Cat House.
Oh, HBO's Cat House.
That could be a whole thing, just like late 90s, early 2000s HBO, like before they decided to...
Class it up?
And like completely scrub the pornography from their streaming
service.
Yeah,
yeah.
It used like, to be, don't hide it, HBO. We know what you are.
It used to be... Kids don't understand, but there used to be a time where you would turn on HBO after 11, and sometimes it would be a quote-unquote movie, sometimes it would be a quote-unquote special, sometimes it would be a quote-unquote documentary, but it was always involving boobies and people coming on screen. Yeah.
Real sex, no take 25.
Right. No penetration. You can't show actual penetration.
The worst is when you would turn on, like, Real Sex.
Yeah.
And you think, like, oh, it's going to be so hot.
And it'd be, like, 50-year-old
cuddle parties. And, like, puppetry of the penis.
Yeah, or remember those, like, God love them, but, like, the not very attractive, like, Midwest couples, like, doing horsey rides?
Yeah.
Sometimes it was too real. Emphasis on the real and not the sex. And you'd be, like, you'd be there. I'd be there, like, looking to be titillated, and I'd be like, no.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest cock tease of them all, Taxi Cab Confessions.
Because
they frame, like, if you watch the intro of that show, it's like steamy sax, like, ooh, Taxi Cab Confessions.
There's one sequence in one episode where a good-looking couple get in the back seat.
Like, and they just fuck.
No, the guy goes down on her.
Okay, yeah.
And you hear her, like, moaning and coming.
Yeah.
That was the big, that was the zenith. Because remember, this is, like, pre-Web 2.0. Yeah. So, like, there's not all these porn hubs and stuff.
But they're, like, selling you on the sex. And in reality, what the show was is, like, the cab driver would pick someone up.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, where you going to, buddy? It's like, I just got back from my mom's funeral.
Yeah. It was actually a really good reality show.
Yeah, it's just it wasn't framed that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It
was all like After Dark kind of shit.
Yeah, HBO After Dark. What was the one?
Ask your mom what that song is. Like, mom, what's that? What's this the song to? Banet. Your mom would be like, where'd you hear that? PCMC. When I tell you kids about the PCMC, all right? If you want to do it in the basement so I know you're safe.
Oh, God, I fucking hate those parents. I remember being in high school and, like, so many kids' parents with, like, giant mansion houses.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, well, yo, it's okay, because, like, I...
You'd smoke weed in here.
Yeah, it's okay if we're home and they're doing it. And then, like, one thing would go wrong, and you'd be like, fuck it, I told you this was a bad idea. It's like, well, you're the parents. Like, if you can't be trusted, who the fuck else can be trusted?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, boy. This episode is tawdry. Let's get to some news, Ben.
Yeah, what's in the news?
Well, Robert Pattinson's going to play the new Batman.
Good, good.
To make a huge fucking left turn on this podcast.
Yeah.
It's not... Wait. Is your childhood intact?
Oh, my God.
Check your childhood.
29-year-old man. I have to go back to...
Oh, man.
8 years ago?
Yeah.
God, my college years are ruined now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, look...
He's gonna be Batman. Like,
yeah.
Every single major casting for a Batman movie has been poo-pooed until the movie comes out.
Absolutely. Michael Keaton, people are like, Michael Keaton's a comedian.
Yeah.
Why would he be in a serious movie?
Yeah.
Let me say something broad and probably offensive to actors. I don't think it's that hard a job to be Batman. Not all acting Batman. I think the suit is doing about 90% of the work.
Yeah, really, you're casting a Bruce Wayne.
Right. And even Bruce Wayne, I can do it. Watch me right now. Oh, I've got a sultry prostitute with me. I mean, sex worker.
Yeah, like...
Come on. I'm going to buy this hotel. Yeah. Look at me.
I own this place. I think we can do it. Let's put these tables together.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to be a big shot.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is. It's... residual Twilight rage from these
But like these movies aren't for
men.
Those Twilight movies aren't for the people that are getting angry at them.
Well, absolutely. Well, that brings up a good point, which is I was just reading something about this recently that was like, just because something's just because you don't like something, it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. It might not be for you. I have problems with Twilight because I do think that it promotes toxic romantic relationships. But, you know, a lot of the superhero movies promote toxic masculinity and toxic ideas of patriotism. So, in the end, Twilight's not for me, but it wasn't made for me. I was like 25 when it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not for me. It was for young women. And whenever something's made for marginalized people, it gets shit on. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, somehow Twilight is somehow less quality than fucking half the shit that comes out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like Captain Marvel comes out and all of a sudden...
It's all
like,
junk food. It's all junk food. So yeah, Twilight's junk food. Who gives a shit? This goes back all the way to... Remember, Disco Sucks?
Oh, yeah. You mean the backlash against gays and women?
Yeah, basically it was like, oh, black people, women, and gay people like this music. I'd rather go sit in a corner and listen to fucking Steely Dan.
Yeah, like, I'd rather throw all the disco records in a stadium and steamroll them.
Yeah, that was a DJ
that
who
was
did
Steve
that.
Dahl.
Steve Dahl, I know that name. Yeah, he was he the guy behind it?
Yeah.
That's lame. So Alabama won't air an episode of the cartoon Arthur because it includes a gay wedding. Now, I've never watched Arthur. Did you watch Arthur?
Yeah.
Do you know what season we're in? This is episode one of season 22.
I know. It's insane.
Unbelievable.
But, like, Mr. Ratburn is just in a long line of, like, cartoon teachers that are totally gay.
So, but you know Mr. Ratburn, because all I've ever seen of Arthur are memes.
Yeah.
The episode's called Mr. Ratburn and the Special Someone.
Now, to be... Look, I don't agree with Alabama. To be fair, they clearly position the episode as sort of like a gotcha. Like, at the end of the episode, it's like, oh, he's getting married, and then you see it's a guy. Like, it's not
there's someone made special. Clear. Right, yeah. Right.
Which, like, part of me is, like, good for them, but then part of me is also, like, you should have normalized it a little more. Like, I'm I think we're past the gotcha gay moments.
Yeah, let it just not be a thing.
Yeah, and honestly, like, just put more of it in the episode. Don't have it just be this one gotcha moment. Like, have it be, like create an actual story around this gay couple instead of just having the whole story be, hey, we're gay.
This is from Paul P. Murphy from CNN. Alabama Public Television says it won't air an episode of the children's show Arthur that featured a same-sex marriage. Mr. Ratburn and the Special Someone aired as the premiere for the show's 22nd season on May 13th. But not in Alabama. Program director Mike McKenzie says Alabama Public Television has no plans to broadcast the episode. The storyline about Mr. Ratburn's marriage conveys a positive message, he said. But while many parents will find it appropriate, many others will disagree, he said. Either because...
Well, those people are wrong.
Yeah, either because their children are too young or because of their belief.
Young to believe in marriage?
Yeah, I always hate the argument where it's like, oh, it's too young for that. It's like...
Young to hear about marriage.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, like, if your kid doesn't hear about it and you keep it away from them, you conceal this part of the world from them, when they do encounter it, it'll seem bizarre to them. So that's how you keep it.
You keep it in the closet.
Right. That's how you keep fucking hate going.
Yeah. I mean, all these gay teachers. Your Miss Frizzle is gay.
Is she?
She's totally gay.
Which one is... What's she from?
Magic School Bus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is she the one with the lizard?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what's the... Do we know the preference of the lizard?
I'm going to say they're a they.
Okay. Okay.
Can't do... Look, how you... Sometimes, a lot of times I'll just say they just to
play
it safe. I can't... That lizard can't speak. So I'm going to go ahead and assume a they.
Our broadcast would take away the choice of parents who feel it is inappropriate.
Yeah, well, those parents are fucking stupid. You fucking knob. Like, what are you gaining from this?
You know, though, I put no... I haven't seen the episode.
I put all the blame on Alabama.
I was going to say, I was going to talk about the episode itself. I've not seen it, so I don't know... I feel like to normalize it, you have to normalize it within the narrative. Whereas, when you make a big deal out of it, when J.K. Rowling tweets, by the way, everyone, Dumbledore's gay.
What's the thing?
It's almost like you're baiting conservatives.
Well, yeah, and that's something that gay people don't, by and large, like don't like the whole J.K. Rowling, like
because like, if he were gay, he should be gay in the books.
Right. Like, don't retroactively be like, oh, Dumbledore's gay. It's like...
It's just queer baiting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's baiting conservatives to get them all frothing at the mouth. Now yeah. they didn't give a shit about Arthur for the last 21 seasons, but now they're like, oh.
I know, they are the Arthur meme of the fist.
My kids can't watch Arthur. I'm so angry.
Oh, what's he doing with that fist?
Like, I don't want my kids to know gay people are.
Yeah. Oh, my God, they exist.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to have to...
How do I explain to my kid that
listen, son.
Some people are... So, media companies are pulling out of Georgia. A lot of people don't know this, but a lot of filming goes on in Georgia. It's a beautiful place. Yeah, if you watch a lot of
movies, you'll always see that like big Georgia Peach logo.
Georgia. Right, yeah.
Right before the five Chinese logos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw a movie yesterday where with that Georgia Peach. And it's a beautiful place to film, but they've got the heartbeat law, which is you've probably been hearing about it, which is it's basically a very extreme law to
protecting babies.
Right, exactly. To save the unborn baby angels. it's good that media companies, because a big part of Georgia's economy is all of this filming, and pulling out, first of all, it puts your money where your mouth is, because the entertainment industry purports to be so liberal-minded, but we know for years, like, things like...
They covered up Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, throughout whole of Hollywood's history, there's been lots of crazy shit. Netflix is threatening to boycott Georgia. But Netflix is kind of lame, because while some other people were like, we're just going to stop shooting there, Netflix was like, well, if the law goes into effect, we'll stop. But we won't stop yet.
It's like, why don't you stop before the law goes into effect, and then maybe they won't pass the law.
Yeah, exactly. That's what people are saying to them. You got to understand, Stranger Things is filmed in Georgia.
Oh.
So they are... they might be in the middle of filming something, and they're like, But Disney said that they are contemplating pulling out. There have been some companies that were – some smaller companies that have been more forthright about it. And then some of the bigger companies are like, well, we don't know.
You know, it's good to see someone pulling out in this situation.
Oh, but a
whoa.
Fine Buttafuoco leather. Now, the argument is, but there are hardworking people that their economy will be crushed. Shouldn't we feel bad for someone who lives in Georgia and is not?
Well, the conservative point of view would be move to another state.
Why do you say that?
That is the conservative point of view. That there are 50 states in the union.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like what's going on in your state, we have the freedom of America to choose what state we live in.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that there are a million factors really preventing that from happening.
Yeah. Chris Kattan claims SNL...
What? Who?
Chris Kattan.
Corky Romano?
Yeah.
What's he doing in the news?
He's got a new book out called Baby Don't Hurt Me.
Okay.
Chris Kattan claims that SNL boss Lorne Michaels pressured him to sleep with Clueless director, and he lost Will Ferrell's friendship because of it.
Sleep with what?
All right.
What? Yeah. What is?
This is from Molly Moleshine. But this was all over the last couple days. Saturday Night Live alum Chris Kattan has revealed that during the production of A Night at the Roxbury, he was pressured to sleep with a director in order to appease his boss.
Why though? Like
Amy Heckerling is the director of Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Okay.
Look Who's Talking, and but, Clueless.
Right.
And she was going to be the director of Night at the Roxbury. She ended up not being.
But she... So she liked Chris Kattan.
She liked Chris Kattan. He didn't like her back.
And Lorne Michaels was like, why don't you sleep with her? Why don't you sleep with her?
Let's see here.
Okay, that would be a really good idea.
Kattan goes on to say that the next day he got a call from Michaels, who had signed on to produce A Night at the Roxbury. He explains that Michaels told him, quote, Paramount would only do the movie if Amy signed on as director, not as producer. And if he, quote, wanted to make sure the movie happened, then he had to keep Amy happy. According to Kattan, Michaels continued, Chris, I'm not saying you have to fuck her, but it wouldn't hurt.
I mean,
and then,
that sounds like a real one-off line.
Yeah, yeah. But they did have a relationship then after that. Amy Heckerling's daughter got in the mix, and she was like, I remember my mom dating him, but that was a tough time in her life, and he was kind of shitty, and I don't think she coerced him.
So this is a really like weird situation.
It is weird.
Because it's like Lorne Michaels maybe suggested to sleep with someone, but didn't like force someone to sleep with them.
No. But apparently maybe, he was angry.
But he was angry
that he turned her down.
He turned her down. But then they got into a relationship anyway. But in that relationship, Chris Kattan seems like the one that was like really hostile and aggressive.
Yeah. Or just shitty.
Yeah, or just like a shitty boyfriend.
Yeah, because he cheated on her with another cast member who was much, because Amy Heckling was much older than him.
Right.
And he cheated on her with a cast member of the movie that she was a part of.
Okay.
And she was also a cast member of Clueless. So it's like, so it's somebody that he knew, that she knew, that was much younger than her.
The fuck?
I tell you why I gravitate to this story, because I like anything that is anti-Lorne Michaels. I don't like him. I don't like SNL. And... oh, when I read this, I was like, juicy, juicy, juicy. Yeah, it's weird. This is...
How are all these SNL people, like, getting all these, like, A-list stars? Like, Pete Davidson and Kate Beckinsale?
I have no idea. I don't know, maybe... I guess SNL is important to people. I don't know why. It's like religion at this point. It's just like, it makes no sense. It shouldn't be here anymore.
Like every week I read, review after review about how like, oh, the host almost saved this episode, or like the host couldn't save this episode. Right. Like that seems to be the range of review.
Yeah, it's always a batting average. Like this sketch was good. That sketch was, it's like.
I believe the Marc Maron theory that it was never great and just like. There's good stuff in it.
It was like, only, it was really great when you were a little kid and you didn't have a discerning...
Well, not even that. It's just like, if I pop in a DVD of, like, the best of whoever...
Right.
It's probably going to be really good.
It's going to be the best stuff, because it's not going to have all the failures.
Right, and it's not going to have, like, an hour and 15 minutes of stuff I don't want to see.
And sometimes on those old DVDs, they would cut shit up.
Yeah.
You would have, like, parts of sketches.
Yeah.
Because they would like... be like, let's cut out the fat here.
Yeah.
So,
and you knew in the night, they don't do this anymore because you can't get away with it with the internet, but you knew when a sketch was hot in the 90s because they would do it 15 times a season.
Oh, yeah. Do they do that anymore? I mean, not counting like Trump.
Well, I'm sure they have recurring sketches, but it's not like, in the 90s, they would have like borderline the same exact sketch. Almost by necessity, because, like, how many times are you going to see a repeat?
Like, I remember as a kid, I loved Wayne's World, and it was like, oh, I hope there's a Wayne's World tonight.
It's like, yes, there's going to be
a Wayne's World. And then there's a Wayne's World, and you're like, yeah, and it's the exact same shit.
Yeah.
It was never any different.
We're going to make a sex joke.
Right, we're going to say schwing.
Yeah.
So happy. And then we're going to go to the news.
Yeah.
While we're on this subject, how do you feel about... It seems like there's something weird going on where I feel like the cast is really big, yet they don't use them a lot. Like, all of the big... When you think about historically with SNL, you had Chevy Chase's Gerald Ford. Mm-hmm. You had... first, you had... What's his name?
Dana Carvey's George Bush.
Right. Who's the great guy who
Phil
died?
Hartman.
Yeah, Phil Hartman first as Clinton, and then Daryl Hammond is right. You had Tina Fey as
Will Ferrell.
Right. But now it's like we Alec have Robert Baldwin.
Robert Baldwin. De Niro is Robert Mueller.
Right. Alec Baldwin is Trump.
Well, this also plays into something I've said about SNL for the past 10 years now, which is it's weird because you used to have guys like Phil Hartman and Kevin Nealon who could play like older people.
Yeah.
Even though they were like in their early 30s. You don't really have that. Like you can't picture Andy Samberg on that show.
Could it be because we're older though?
That we're just like not seeing it in the same
way?
They
look like kids to us?
I don't know. Like I go back and I watch like those Phil Hartman sketches and like he looks like a grown ass man. Like
yeah, he was definitely a grown ass man. Like, well, I think even in the world of comedy, a lot of it now has to do with, you know, your likability and your physical attractiveness.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas that was not the case yeah, that was not the case in the old SNL. No one was like, oh, let's get that fucking sexy hunk John Belushi on the show.
Yeah.
You know, comedy was this thing where it was like... That's why a lot of people disliked Dane Cook. Oh, there's a lot of reasons people disliked him.
Yeah.
But one of them was guys being like, oh, he's the hot jock. Like, why is he in Arlene?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely see that with Dane Cook.
Which, by the way, I've forgiven him. I'm fine with him. I heard him recently on a bunch of podcasts talking about crazy shit like his brother stealing his money.
Yeah, he turned into kind of a sad sack.
And he didn't make people watch him jerk off like Louis C.K. did. So right. I no longer give
Admirable.
A shit that he... Yeah. So I no longer give a shit that he lifted a Louis C.K. joke.
Yeah.
Because I'm of... This is... We're so off topic. But I'm really of the belief that all of this, like, joke thievery shit that you hear... It's all, to me, it's all nonsense because it's the way that information is mimetic. It flows and disseminates through the culture, yeah. through people. You know things because you've heard them or you've read them. Well, regular people repeat jokes because that's how people work.
Well, I think people understand that now. I think we're past the days of like, oh, I heard he stole this one joke.
Right.
It's like one joke that doesn't.
Right.
Now if you have a Carlos Mencia situation
right.
where it's like, oh my God, he's like lying about everything.
But why would he steal, like one of the jokes he stole was a Cosby joke. That was a famous joke.
Yeah.
Now, is he insane? Is he not thinking about it?
I think he was just insane.
Okay.
Because remember... Because
you're going to get caught doing that.
Well, remember his, like, apology tour after he was on Marc Maron.
But it was also... But it was kind of like, like, there was no... It was an apology without an admission of guilt.
Right, but it was also this weird, like, ah, my fans know the deal. And all of his fans are like, wait, what are you talking
What's
about?
What's the deal?
His real name is Ned Holness, I believe.
Okay. Well... Let's go to Trailer Corner.
And then, like, he got really thin and was like, you like me again? It was like, no you're, that wasn't the problem.
No, yeah, your weight wasn't the problem.
Yeah, there's plenty of fat comedians.
We watched the trailers for Terminator Dark Fate.
Yeah.
Picard and Crawl. Let's start with Terminator.
Okay, every Terminator trailer for the past 15 years... has like a hint of like, ooh, this is gonna be it.
Right, right. Ooh.
So I don't know if I
right.
can get
this
that
is gonna
excited.
Be it, meaning this is gonna be another good one after two.
Which it's like, okay, let's go through the chronology. So there's Terminator 1 and 2, and then right after 2 it diverts. So you have a timeline where...
You're talking about the timeline in the narrative or the timeline in real life of them coming out?
Kind of both. So you have Terminator 2...
Because in the
2,
narrative it makes no sense. And
right,
now so they recon and cut things out.
Right, so Terminator 2 happens, and what we're supposed to assume, I guess, is that a bunch of timelines now exist.
Well, there was a Terminator 3.
Right. So Terminator 3 is right. in one of those timelines... Then Sarah Connor Chronicles happens in a different timeline.
And that's the show where they're, like, the same age.
Yeah.
Sarah Connor and John Connor
Which
look like the same
Which was actually a really good show.
Okay, yeah, I heard it was good.
It's just, it ended on a big cliffhanger, so it's like, I can't really recommend it to anyone.
Yeah.
Then you have Terminator Salvation.
Which was trying to be the first of a trilogy.
Right, so that takes place, I guess, in its own timeline.
And that changes a lot of... what we knew about the narrative from the first movie.
Yeah. And then you have Terminator Genisys.
Which I really liked.
It was okay. But it kind of just like was what it was.
Right.
And was clearly trying to be a reboot.
Right. It was trying to be like, this is part three.
Yeah.
But now this new one is trying to be part three.
Right. James so Cameron we have a part. So even just in the world of the Terminator canon.
There's three part threes.
There's three part threes. And that's not even if you're counting the TV show.
Right, exactly.
So there's four part threes.
Now, it says James Cameron is the producer. And
he was the producer for the last one, too, though.
Was he really?
I'm pretty sure he was.
Because in this trailer, they make it like a big fucking deal. James Cameron is back. And first of all, he's not even directing it.
Right, like, if he's back, he's directing it. Like, don't give me this, like, he's a producer.
But, well, yeah, what I'm wondering, and I guess Linda Hamilton is back. She wasn't in the last... one.
Yeah.
All right, let me look up Terminator Genisys from 2015, not so long ago.
No.
Let's see here. I enjoyed this movie. Was it great? No, but
no. And on the whole, I enjoyed this
James
trip.
Cameron did produce it. No, sorry. Based on characters by James Cameron. Maybe he wasn't involved in it.
Okay, but I definitely remember him, like, out in, on the promotion wagon, because he was saying, like...
He was saying then, this is what I think Part 3 should be.
Right.
Because he didn't have anything to do with the original Part 3, I think.
No, in fact, Arnold Schwarzenegger wasn't going to do Part 3.
Yeah.
And he went to James Cameron for advice, and James Cameron said, if they basically, if they back up the money wagon, like, do it.
Okay.
Which, Part 3, I mean, Chris Hardwick's in that one, so...
Well, let's talk about this trailer in particular.
It's a good trailer.
We see that iconic image from the second movie of, basically, you strap a camera onto a car, and then you drive down the highway.
Yeah.
So you see this really cool, like, tracking shot of pavement. And it's like, the future, and what road will you go down? There's no fate but what you make. Then we see, we've got a blonde lady Terminator.
Kinda?
She's the good Terminator, I guess.
But they kind of hint at, like, she's a cyborg.
Right, well, yeah, because Linda Hamilton says, you're the most human I've ever seen of them. And she's defending some... It looks like Part 1 just recast with different people. It looks almost like The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Because you got, like, some young girl who I guess is the new Linda Hamilton.
Mm, then you get the real Linda Hamilton.
Right, who's the Han Solo. Who's like, hey, I'm old and gruff and here I am.
But then there's, like, a guy who's not Robert Patrick, but, like, kind of looks like a young Robert Patrick.
Right. He actually looks like a pedophile, which I like. I was like, I like that. And not, it's not necessarily the actor's face. It's... The outfit, dead eyes in his face, yeah, and his like dad going to Sears outfit. There's a cool scene in the trailer where the that guy is in a truck because all these movies have to have car chases. Because the one in the second movie was great, and you see like the metal, the kind of a malleable liquid metal come off of his face, like you saw in Part 2, and it goes through the windshield and forms him on the hood of the car, but it leaves behind an exoskeleton. It leaves behind a skeleton that looks like what Arnold's skeleton. It looks like he's a combination of the liquid and the solid.
Yeah.
Because remember, Robert
Patrick.
Yeah, Robert Patrick, he had no skeleton. He was just pure liquid. This guy looks like he's both. And then he throws something at the blonde woman who... I kept feeling... I knew it wasn't because she's not her, but I kept thinking, like, is that Robin Wright? Because she looks so much like Robin Wright.
Yeah, no, it's the girl from Game of Thrones.
Oh, is she?
Sophie, what's her face?
Oh, okay. She's blonde. She's got short hair.
Yeah.
She gets cut, and you see, like, kind of, like, metal mesh in her arm.
Mm.
And then it's like... And the trailer does a lot of, like, hold on to your fucking socks. Here we go. Boom, boom. And then Linda Hamilton... steps onto the pavement, and then we fucking tilt up, and there she is wearing the sunglasses, and she's got a fucking bazooka.
And then she goes to a cabin.
Yeah, yeah.
And old Arnold's in the cabin. Oh, my God.
Yeah, how do we get old Arnold back?
I don't know.
In the last movie, Arnold...
He was old because he hung around too long.
Like, the actual outside of him got old, which I liked. It kind of made sense.
Which, like, I'm sure maybe that'll just be the same excuse this time.
Then we had bad CG Arnold in Salvation. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof.
Sorry,
McGee. I wish they would just... I don't know what I wish they would do with this franchise. Because for all I know, this movie could be a hit, and then, like, we're off to the races with a new Terminator franchise.
Because,
they've been wanting a new Terminator franchise for so long.
Right,
right. Now.
They keep trying to fucking make it happen. They keep pulling the cord on the fucking lawnmower, and it just sputters out.
I don't know. Maybe, like, try a new idea. Like, stop revolving. Like, every new Terminator movie has to, like, tie into the two that were good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Salvation was like, oh, you're going to get the war. It's like, well, not really.
Right.
We got a lot of mud. Like,
yeah, they almost, they're kind of in the Prometheus realm of, like, too much and too big.
Yeah.
You look at that first Terminator movie, and it's really mostly, like, just, like, kind of a horror thriller. It's very small.
It's a B movie.
Right.
It's a robot comes back from the past, or from the future, to protect someone who's going to be the leader of the resistance.
Yeah, it's got a kind of cyberpunky aesthetic.
But, like, it's very simple.
Right, it's super simple.
And then two is like, oh, shit, now he's good. So it's like this weird dichotomy of, like, oh, you think Arnold's bad, but, like, he's good in this one.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you know, James Cameron, he produced this, like, History of Sci-Fi series a year or so ago, which I liked. But for the most part, I don't know. I don't like him that much.
Well, you're getting three more Avatars.
Well, I was going to say, so. I feel like he's got a gun to my head, and he's like, you're getting three more Avatars. And I'm like, no, I don't want one. And he's like, you're fucking getting it. And then he doesn't give it to you, even though you don't want it.
Yeah.
It's like if I were like, hey, Vin, tomorrow I'm going to – you're going to come over tomorrow, and I'm going to cook you lamb chops. And you're like, I don't like lamb chops. And then I'm like, too fucking bad, you're getting them.
But then you're like, and then I call guess you tomorrow, what, I forgot to get the lamb chops. We're you're doing coming it next week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, that's
– I'm just like, okay.
Oh, God. Maybe. We keep prolonging it. And then I'm like, I'm not just making you one lamb chop. Dinner. Three consecutive.
And I'm like, hey, I don't know if I can handle three lamb chops.
I don't know. And then just randomly I open a lamb chop theme park that nobody gives a shit about.
Now I'm just picturing like a lamb chop theme park, but like the puppet lamb chop.
Lamb chop and what's her name?
Oh god, what was her
name? I want to say Shelly, but that doesn't sound right.
I was
going
to say Shelly as well.
I'm going to
see. Now I need to know this. Yeah. IMDb Lamb Chop.
See what Lamb Chop's credits are. Lamb Chop.
I feel like it's on the tip of my tongue.
The fuck is Lamb Chop?
I'm just typing in Lamb Chop and Shelly, which is... It's going to give me like Shelly Long eating a lamb chop or something.
Oh, God.
God, I want to know her name. What the fuck? Reset this.
Is it Shirley?
Oh, maybe. It doesn't just come up on like the Wikipedia?
Shari Lewis.
Shari Lewis, yes.
Shari Lewis and Lamb Chop.
There we go.
Great.
Great. Yeah. Glad we nailed that down.
Glad we circled back for that. So what else happens in the trailer? Arnold is there and he's, I don't know. It just feels like, I don't know. There's so much of this lately. I feel like I'm repeating myself on this show.
Yeah, and they're trying to make it like.
Like the new epic, Halloween a little gritty, bit.
Yeah.
Like, hey, here you go. Like, you can't keep doing this and treat every time like a return to form. I don't trust you anymore.
Yeah.
You just had a movie in 2015.
That went nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if that had been a huge hit, they would have made more in that weird timeline where Amelia Clarke was playing...
Also
from Game of Thrones, she was playing young Sarah Connor.
She ain't anymore.
I guess the big thing, because Arnold's come back a lot, so I guess the big thing is to get Linda Hamilton back.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the first movie, she was a working class waitress, and she meets this, like, weird guy from the future, and they fall in love, and they fuck, and it's super hot 80s.
Yeah.
And she's a badass, and then we see her in two, and she's got a son, and she's protecting her son. But... now she's like fucking MacGyver / Shaft.
Now she's like Rambo.
She's just a mad mother, shut your mouth.
Which, there was a Rambo trailer that just came out today.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
I haven't seen it yet either, but... I don't know who... I mean...
Yeah, I don't know who anything's for anymore.
I'm excited. You mentioned Shaft. I'm excited for that Shaft movie.
Are you really?
Three generations of Shaft in the same movie?
Yeah.
Richard Roundtree, Samuel Jackson, and the new guy?
The new guy. He's
DJ
nerdy.
DJ Qualls.
He's DJ Qualls. Oh, that'd be great. So, we watched the teaser trailer for Picard. And I kind of want you to take this because you are a bigger TNG fan than I am. It looks like a wine commercial.
I was just going to say, it looks like just an ad for Picard's Vineyard.
Yeah, and it is,
like,
kind of.
It kind of is, but, like, they do that very Star Trek thing that I knew they were... like, I should have placed a bet before we saw this.
Uh-huh.
Where everything's normal.
Yeah.
Then you have space crop dusters.
Yeah.
You can't spacey just
futury.
Yeah, just like Picard's space photo album.
Yeah. And then they do the thing where they, like, they tease you with a little bang.
The Picard, yeah.
Bang. Like, see, a little, like, bit.
Yeah, and you see, like, a wine bottle. It's like Picard. Dun, like, dun, dun, which I want to know what they're teasing with that shot of, like...
is it sideways, but with Picard, just he's drinking?
But, like, what are they teasing when they do it? They're like, oh, Picard wineries. I'm like... yeah, I know it's about Picard. The show's called fucking Picard.
Yeah, I guess that's supposed to be a reveal to you. if you don't know what you're watching.
That he owns a vineyard.
In the trailer, you hear someone saying, like, 15 years ago, you saved a bunch of people, whatever, and then you left.
Well,
what event are they talking about?
Oh, well, I know exactly what event they're talking about, because I read, like, a synopsis that they sort of teased.
Uh-huh.
That, if you recall, in the Star Trek movies,
okay,
the J.J. Abrams movie,
yeah,
Vulcan explodes.
Yeah.
That event happens in the original timeline. So apparently, like, that has something to do with what's going on in Picard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought that everything... I thought that the movies just did their own thing. I didn't realize... Oh, okay.
No, because Leonard Nimoy was there. He bridged that gap.
Yeah. That's a weird thing, because you think they'd be building off of everything they did. Like, I thought... I was like...
You think, like, Riker's going to show up in the USS Titan?
Factor fiction? It's fiction.
I love that fucking Factor Fiction montage. He's so smug.
Guys, look up Factor Fiction, Jonathan Frakes.
Jonathan Frakes. Like,
So, I thought it was, yeah, I thought they were referring to, like, something that happened in, like, those post-First Contact movies that I didn't see.
Yeah.
Like, what, Insurrection is one?
Yeah, Insurrection's the one where he fights F. Murray Abraham.
Yeah, I was like, is this Insurrection? What are we referring to?
The one
to?
Where, like, when he fights him, there's, like, clearly a blue screen in the background, yeah. But they were just like, no.
It was a cheap movie.
No, the ship is blue. It's like, what?
What are...
And then Nemesis.
Yeah.
Which has a young Tom Hardy as the villain.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
and
what is...
space
what,
symbols.
What, I mean, I guess for... I'm not a Trekkie. I've liked a lot of the Star Trek movies, but I've never really seen the shows. I would never... You know, I'm reticent to even call myself a fan. I have a great appreciation mm-hmm. for it, and I've dabbled in it. Mm-hmm. But, like, what am I supposed to be feeling here?
With Picard?
Yeah. Is that story not over? Is there more to tell? Does he still have, like, Borgy instincts sometimes?
I don't want... Well, I guess that leads into, like, I don't know... I still don't know what this series is
going
to be.
And is Mr. Data there?
Well,
is
no,
it just
he
him
died
alone
in,
with the wine?
Well, no. Spoiler alert. He died in Nemesis.
Wait, what?
Yeah. He got sucked out of the ship trying to save everyone.
Holy shit.
But...
I'm glad I didn't see that movie.
And this is going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
Since you didn't see Nemesis.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole movie, like, near the beginning of the movie, they're on a planet, and very conveniently...
Sure.
Find a clone of Data.
Sure.
Called like B2 or B4, some battleship
BB-8.
Number. Yeah, BB-8. And throughout the movie, like, there's this B plot of, like, Data trying to teach him, like, how to be more, like, human. Because Data, sure. at this point, is, like, he's learned a lot. He's basically, like, as human as an android
yeah,
is
yeah.
going to get. And this new robot, this new Data... is, like, where Data was starting off at, like, years ago.
Uh-huh.
And then, so Data dies, and then now this, like, other Data is on the ship still. And there's, like, a scene at the end of Nemesis where, like, something, like, a song that B2 has been trying to learn the whole movie, mm. like, he finally starts, like, humming it, and Picard's like, ooh, he's learning. And that's supposed to be the big, like, oh, life finds a way. Like, it's supposed to be, like, one of those moments. And... you're supposed to believe that, like, now they've taken in this new Data to carry on the legacy. But it's like, why?
It's
why
is it a different actor?
No, it's still Brett Spiner.
Oh, so what's the fucking point?
It's because he directed the movie and he wanted to have two roles.
Okay. that's the weird thing about Star Trek, which is they hire from within. Like, if you're
yeah,
in
Jonathan
Star Trek
Frakes,
long enough, you get to make a movie.
Yeah, Jonathan Frakes directed.
But then you
First
like in
Contact.
The original series, you had some Shatner directed movies. You had Nimoy directed movies.
Well, you also have a bunch of Shatner books that were admittedly were ghost written.
No, yeah, there's no way.
There's no way.
Were they called like Tech Wars or something like that?
Yeah, Tech War. Well, that's a whole series that he made.
Yeah,
but like he made a book because at the end of At the end of Star Trek Genesis?
Uh-huh.
Is that the one from, like, 91? Like, the first? Or was it Star Trek
Generations?
Genesis or Generations?
I think it's Generations.
I think it's Generations.
That's with Picard and Kirk.
Yeah. William Shatner didn't like his ending where he gets covered in rocks.
Yeah.
So he had people, like, write a new one for him and basically put it out in a book.
Brought him back.
Yeah, brought him back.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, because he can't die.
Sure. All right, so the last trailer we looked at is for, it's called Crawl. But to me, it's like Florida the movie.
Yeah, I don't...
It's kind of like, do you remember Lake Placid?
Yeah.
Which is sort of, it was Jaws, but with crocodiles and Betty White.
I was just going to bring up, but this was Deep Blue Sea, the LL Cool J song.
Yes, yes, yes. But there's a Deep Blue Sea-ness to this. Yeah. Basically, it begins with there's a severe storm and there's going to be flooding in Florida. So this girl comes to her dad's house and she's like, Dad, and she can't hear him. She's going to help her dad. Mm-hmm. And she sees he's in the basement and I think he hurt his leg or whatever. And the house is already beginning to flood. Mm-hmm. And no, he didn't hurt his leg. His leg got injured because with the flood came in a killer. I don't know if it's an alligator or a crocodile. I don't mean to offend anybody. I don't know which one it is.
I don't know what pronouns they use.
And then so the alligator like jumps at her and she's like, I won't leave you, Dad. And as there's so many things happening just in this trailer. It's like a hat on a hat on a hat.
There's like a hurricane and like houses are imploding.
And the house is getting more and more filled with water. So it's like Jaws inside a house.
Yeah.
Like you see a scene where like the water's really high up and she's in the kitchen like playing like fucking Hot Lava, like jumping from one thing to another because I guess it can't get her while she's not in the water. And then there's a very Deep Blue Sea scene where you see a cop like, oh, I don't see anything. And then the fucking alligator jumps up and bites him and takes him in. There's a scene where you see her picking up some broken eggs and it's like, oh, shit, somebody has babies. Yep. Somebody stole the ending from the 1996 Godzilla.
I know.
And then it ends with it shows a lot. It ends with an interesting shot where she's got a gun. And then you see the fucking crocodile bite her arm.
Yeah.
And then you hear her shoot the gun. So I guess she fucking shoots through him or something. What if this is all to kickstart a new cinematic universe and we find out, like, her name is, like, Rebecca Hook. And then... we find out at the end that she's a captain of a ship and they're like, hello, Captain Hook.
Ooh.
And it's like, oh, cinematic universe. Uh-oh, gender swap Captain Hook. Let me go to Reddit.
Oh my God. Don't go to Reddit.
So it looks like a sci-fi movie that somehow got its way into a theater.
Yeah.
But it's produced by Sam Remember Me Raimi.
Just makes me want to watch the new Godzilla.
Yeah, that comes out tomorrow, I think?
Yeah, and the reviews have been interesting, because a lot of the... I've seen multiple reviews for this movie now.
Yeah.
Where they go, you know what, there's a little too much monster fighting in here. They don't really focus on the human element. B-. I'm like, what? Like,
of this whole cinematic universe, the only one I've liked is Kong Skull Island. I didn't like the first Godzilla. This new one looks stupid. Now, if they bring Kong into this, what are we waiting
on? What doing.
Have it happen. Is Kong in this new one?
No. This one is just Mothra, Rodan, King Ghidorah, and Godzilla, which I want to see a big... I'm a big King Ghidorah fan.
It seems like there's too much going on.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I hope... I'm more excited to go see Ma, starring Octavia Butler.
Y'all come up with a Ma's house.
Yeah. All right.
Ma's going to... get you drunk and fucking sew your lips shut.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Pop Culture Man Children. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by Vin Forte. Mm-hmm. Vin, how are you?
Good.
This is the Chill Sesh.
Oh my God.
What have you been reading, writing, listening to, doing? Tell what I've been fucking really into.
What?
Days Gone.
Oh my God.
It's a zombie game for the PS4. Very glitchy. Not great gameplay, but the story sucked me in.
It's funny, I've been playing video games as well. I've been playing Katamari Damacy.
What is that? Oh, I think... is he a priest here on Staten Island? I think I went to Sunday Mass with Katamari Damacy.
No, this is a very Japanese game where you basically roll up objects.
Oh, I have heard of this.
And it's very, very fun. Basically, like, the more you have a time limit on each level, like mm-hmm. 10 minutes to roll up, you know, a ball that's, you know, yay big.
Yeah.
And as you roll up more items, you and the ball get bigger. So there are some levels, like especially later in the game, mm-hmm. where you have like a whole half hour to roll something up.
Oh, cool.
And you start out like the size of like an ant or something. Mm-hmm. And you're just rolling up like paper clips and doodads. And then like smash cut to 15 minutes later, uh-huh. and you're like rolling up houses and like parks and like boats and shit.
It sounds like the really, kind of, yeah.
It's really...
Is it like the kind of game that's like hypnotic?
Yeah.
And like relaxing almost?
Oh, yeah. And it's got like this groovy like Japanese sound, like pop soundtrack.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It's just really relaxing. And they did like a remake of it for the Switch. So I've been playing it on that.
They're coming out with a remaster of the Ghostbusters video game for Switch and PS4.
Yeah, I saw that. That's an interesting choice.
Why do you say?
Because like normally like a licensed game like that wouldn't really get like the remaster treatment.
Yeah, yeah. It's really good, though.
I haven't seen the trailer for it.
Well, I haven't. No, I'm just. I played the original game.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a perfect part three to the original two movies.
Yeah, I remember. My only problem with it was, like, the voice acting was not
Bill
great.
Murray is a little monotone. He I guess whoever
doesn't
want
to be there.
Whoever was the director of that was, what do you call it? Not, was afraid to be like, hey, Bill, can you give me a little more?
Yeah.
Because you're just lucky that he's there.
Exactly. But I like that game, and they haven't made a good Ghostbusters game since. They had one that was like...
Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Which I didn't even play.
I don't know anyone that played it.
Yeah.
That's one of those things, like, everyone played Pokemon Go, and, like, they did a Harry Potter one, I think.
Yeah.
It's like, none of the other ones took off.
I did the Ghostbusters VR thing at Madame Tussauds.
That looked like fun.
That was the most exciting moment of my life. I felt like this is what I've been training my whole life for.
Yeah.
You go in... And you put on the fucking backpack and the goggles. It was me and a friend and two other strangers. And they were like, you know, it's the game. It's not really a game, but the game is better with four people.
Yeah.
So do you mind if we put it? I'm like, yeah, sure. Put us together. And I have never thrived more in my life. I immediately took a leadership role. I was like, hey, fucking guy, there's a fucking... Throw your trap. Come on, there's a ghost on your fucking six. Move it, move it. There's a scene where you go into a fucking elevator and it goes down and then it opens up to a creepy hallway. And ooh. Everyone else was scared and I was like, you got a fucking proton pack on. Let's do this.
Yeah, really?
And I fucking ran out into the hallway. I was like, come on, guys, let's fucking... I was so ready. It was. I've been training for it my whole life.
Now, do you physically walk during this, or is this
yes.
just okay?
There's a real space. There's you know, when you go on the elevator, you go on this platform that like sort of shakes below you, so you feel like you're going down. Mm. There's a scene where you are in Dana Barrett's like apartment, so like you walk outside and you're like you're on a ledge. And there's fans. So,
oh, wow.
And so
they give you the full experience.
And, you know, it's funny. You know I'm doing a VR experience, but you feel the wind, and you look down, and the floor is shakes at that moment. Mm. So you feel like, oh, like, you really, your brain is like, we are on a ledge outside on a building. And your intellectual mind is like, no, we are in a VR experience. But your eyes and your ears and your... equilibrium was like, no.
I think you've like kind of just been sold on getting the PlayStation VR.
Oh, well, there's that new Vader game. Vader fucking whatever the fuck. Vader Immortal or Vader fucking,
Vader,
I don't know.
Vader Untold.
Vader Han Solo story.
Yeah.
Vader Untold. That's the problem with Vader, though. It's all been told.
I know. There's nothing new to Darth Vader.
You know, Galaxy's Edge opened today.
I saw. George Lucas was there.
Yeah, Lucas, fucking, who was it?
J.J. Abrams.
Lucas Abrams, fucking Mark Hamill, and Harrison Ford. They got Ford out. And only one of the two rides is open.
Sure, why not open the park before it's ready?
Yeah, one of the rides is the Millennium Falcon ride.
People are just going to get those collectible Pepsi or Coca-Cola.
Oh my god, I want to go. There's also like figures there. Mm-hmm. They sell like figures and stuff that you can't get anywhere else. But then there's also within the world of it, mm-hmm. there is a toy shop that's like, we make toys, like in-universe toys.
Yeah.
And I want all that. I fucking want it all.
Fucking high on death sticks.
I want it Oh man, somebody tries fucking scumbaggio comes over to me and is like, you want to buy some death sticks? I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, I'm here. I didn't fly down to Florida to not try some death sticks, am I right?
Fucking meet up with Watto and sell your mom for... some kid's going to sell his mom for a pod racer.
Yeah, yeah. Let's bet our loved ones on a game of dice. I would love if it's just really, really scummy.
Oh my god, that would be great.
They've got the fucking lightsaber maker fucking thing.
You make your own lightsaber?
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's kind of exactly like the Harry Potter wand store.
Mm.
It's like kind of an experience.
You pick your own kyber crystal.
Right, exactly. And, you make it yourself, but it's
good they're getting into paganism.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny, the new canon has a different... The new canon's weird. The old canon was that every kyber crystal, whatever the color of it, mm-hmm. was the color of your right. saber. But in the new canon, first of all, the kyber crystal, like, calls to you. So, like, everyone has their... Which is very Harry Potter. They straight up stole that from Harry Potter. Like, the way a wand picks you.
Yeah.
Like, in like Rebels... That. In Star Wars Rebels, what do you call it? Kanan... Not Kanan, the kid. Ezra. Ezra is going through, and he's like... He has to find the right one that calls out to him.
Yeah.
But in the, but there's no red. It's if you fucking... If I kill you and steal your kyber crystal mm-hmm. and basically force it to do what I want it to do, mm-hmm. it'll turn red.
Oh.
There you go. I actually just read Master and Apprentice by Claudia Gray, and it is a Qui-Gon Obi-Wan novel.
Yeah.
And I would not have read it had it not been by Claudia Gray, because she's one of my favorite Star Wars... She is my favorite Star Wars author. Mm-hmm. She wrote Leia, Princess of Alderaan. She wrote Bloodline. Mm-hmm. She wrote Lost Stars. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to read it for her. And it actually wasn't bad, because it kind of dealt with how much of a fucking little shit Obi-Wan was. It's all about how, like... In the beginning, they're like, oh, Qui-Gon, we're going to give you a seat on the council. And Qui-Gon's like, fucking great, because me and Obi-Wan don't get along. This kid's not learning from me.
Yeah.
He's fucking stiff. I can't get him to break any of the fucking rules. He's in the beginning, there's a battle, and Obi-Wan fucks up. But then Obi-Wan's resentful of him. There's a lot of them, like, being mad at each other. And it ended up being very good. Claudia Gray, everybody. Check her out. Right now, they're taking, I think... They do reservations for Galaxy's Edge, but you can only go in 4 hours at a time, which is probably enough, because it's like one ride, Blue Milk.
Oh, they better have Blue Milk.
Oh, they fucking do have Blue Milk. Of course they have Blue Milk, Vincent. Of course they do.
Can you drink it right out of one of those fucking big ass...
Oh, like in Last Jedi?
Yeah, can I just, like, bring my Nalgene up to it and just fucking...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And make direct eye contact with Daisy Ridley?
Oh, that was the greatest scene in that movie. Come on, nerds. Have a little fun. Like,
Come on, let's never get Star Wars as weird.
It's just a fucking weird space movie. So what if he shoots you a look?
I wanted to ask you, did you see the live Jeffersons All in the Family?
Yes. It was... The most shocking thing about it is learning that a lot of the original actors were much younger than the new actors.
Really?
When they first got these jobs. How old... Okay, I'm going to save this one for the end, because this one's really going to shock you. But Carol O'Connor was in his late 40s.
Really?
Yeah.
So he's definitely younger then. But that was before people like
Woody Harrelson is 55, 56.
Wow.
Here's the thing, though.
He was awful.
He was.
He was awful.
Here's the worst part of it.
Yeah.
But how old do you think George Jefferson was? Sherman Helmsley, when he got the part.
Oh, God. 38.
Close. 35.
35.
He was 35.
Yeah.
People owned his own business.
But that's the thing. Don't people always look older in the past? Because because we lived less long, and I think we just took care of ourselves less. Like, open up like a high school yearbook from like the 50s, and it's like everyone's gonna look like they're fucking already. Everyone's gonna look like fucking
fucking Johnny Unitas.
Yeah. Oh God, I wanted to like it. I wanted to like it so much, but from the get go, they're doing impressions instead of acting. And that's a big fucking mistake. Just do it.
Learn I think the Jeffersons one was actually better than the All
Jeffersons
in the
Family one. Was definitely better. Definitely better. The All in the Family one... Well, first of all, the All in the Family one had Woody Harrelson. And I love him. I love him in everything. I think he's great. He was terrible as Archie.
Yeah, he was not a good Archie.
What was he doing with his hands?
He was doing the David Lynch
thing. And he would... He would not do the voice. He'd do the voice. He would say, he would lean into the voice when he said little girl.
Yeah.
But he would not say the voice sometimes. What is happening? Why is this an SNL sketch? Aren't you guys actors? Act. Why is this impressions? I don't get it.
I don't know.
And it was just, there was also way too much fucking padding with Norman Lear and Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, they need to know. They need you to know that the originals exist.
Yeah,
and go get them.
It begins with Norman Lear in a chair, in Archie's chair, being like, 10,000 years ago, I put it on a family, and then we go to some weird opening, and then we see.
Well, because they want this to be a series now. They want to do more of this.
Right, right. Yeah, you could tell that. Then you see a balcony, but it's like it's a balcony box, but it moves, and it's. Norman Lear and Jimmy Kimmel as if they're fucking Statler and Waldorf. Yeah. And then they just repeat the same information that was just told to you. And then they do the fucking show. And I think Ike Barinholtz was good as Meathead. I think Ellie Kempler was good as Sally Struthers' role.
Ruth Tomei was actually pretty good.
Well, she does an amazing impression of Edith. But again, I wish she wasn't doing an impression. I wish she were
this
fucking
This is also
acting.
Another case where... Not for nothing, like, Edith had this, like, old lady aesthetic, and Marissa Tomei is, like...
Very physically attractive.
MILF of the millennium, like...
MILF of the MCU.
Yeah, MILF of the MCU.
Yeah, yeah. And then, the Jeffersons begins with Jennifer Hudson singing the Jeffersons theme, which was cool. And then you had Wanda Sykes as Wheezy, wasn't bad
at all. I think Wanda Sykes would have been better as the housekeeper.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you. You had Jamie Foxx doing a pretty good impression of Sherman Helmsley. But by the way, isn't that all that he does? Like, remember back when he won the Oscar for Ray, a lot of people were like, isn't he just doing a really... Are we giving him an Oscar because he's doing a really good impression of Ray Charles?
Yeah.
Is he a really good actor? And he also fucked up. That was the big moment.
Yeah.
Which is, it begins with an All in the Family episode that features the Jeffersons.
Right.
So him as George Jefferson in that episode, he fucks up. And he goes, it's live. And it's like, I almost didn't like it. I like the way he tried to like turn to the audience and like own it. I wish he had just like kept going.
Yeah.
Like he broke it too much. Like, don't break it and then wink at me and go, why? It's live TV, everybody. Fart. Yeah. But you tell you, the whole thing stunk of, we're not paying you a lot. This is kind of a favor. Just kind of learn the lines.
It really felt like a favor.
Yeah, we're not going to put a lot of money into this.
Yeah, like, hey, let me call some of my Hollywood friends.
Yeah, don't worry too much about this. That's what it felt like.
Like, Woody Harrelson gets a phone call, like, are we doing another True Detective? It's like, no. We're remaking All in the Family.
Yeah.
So you want me to star in All in the Family remake? Well, I mean, we're just doing one episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jimmy Kimmel's
good. It got good ratings, though, for what network is now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're definitely going to do more.
They'll
do a Good Times one. Bring in Janet Jackson.
Good. Yeah. They had the original made a cameo. And, you know, the Jeffersons was better because I think the performances were better. But also they picked a better episode. I feel like they could have picked a lot of better episodes of All in the Family.
Yeah, they kind of just, I don't know. It didn't.
They picked a really good episode, a really famous episode, early episode of Jeffersons, because it's about them hiring the maid.
Right.
And there's also, it might have even been the pilot, I don't know, because there's also a really big moment in that episode where you've got the white couple and the black couple. The couple that's one's white and one's black.
Yeah.
And they were saying, we don't argue, why do you and Wheezy argue? And he goes, you're afraid to argue because you know if you argue, eventually he's going to say the N-word.
Right.
But in the original, he says the N-word. In this one, he says and they bleeped it.
Yeah.
Which is weird to think it wasn't bleeped in the past, but bleeped now.
Yeah. Well, people have made the argument that, like, people needed to hear it then, and like we're like past that.
Yeah,
now.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying that's odd. I'm not saying that they should have or shouldn't have. It was just it was interesting.
Yeah,
and because they also didn't. They could have made him say N-word. You know, because he's going to call you the N-word. They made him say it. You could see his lips saying it.
Yeah,
which is a weird thing about. Bleeping.
Maybe they wanted
Did they bleep it or drop it? I forget.
They bleeped it.
They bleeped it.
Like, maybe...
But that was always planned.
Maybe they, yeah, like, maybe they wanted it, and, like, ABC made a call and was like, no, we're bleeping it.
Yeah. It was...
I'd rather just watch... the Jeffersons.
Yeah, I'd rather watch the real stuff. It's probably much better. And, you know, Norman Lear begins by going, you know, he's God love him. He's got that hat on. He's 1,000 years old. And he was like, you know, it could be any family. And it's like, you know, Norman, I don't think it can be anymore. You know, I don't think that comedy is timeless. Comedy is timely. And that's what makes comedy good. You know, what's funny right now will tap into what we're thinking about right now and what we are concerned about and what we're anxious about.
Yeah.
And that might not be the same in 20 years. So, yes, we do have a racist president now. And we do have racism is certainly not something that we've fucking figured out. But what we see in All in the Family, I don't... It didn't feel like this could be now.
Yeah, I feel like there would be a lot more N-words going around.
Yeah, or... Or fucking maybe Archie is the more liberal one. And the young son is some radicalized fucking... Reddit Nazi.
Yeah.
Instead of being the young hippie liberal.
Yeah, like, do a new version of All in the Family, but, like, don't make it a remake and don't call it All in the Family. But, like, have it be in that same spirit where it's, like, the old generation, the new generation. And, like, one's just, like, almost like Family Ties. Like, did it pretty seamlessly.
Yeah.
Where you had, like, Alex P. Keaton as, like, the young Republican. Duck! Yeah. Which I've been on a big Family Ties kick a couple months ago.
Really?
Yeah, I had watched an episode on YouTube and then like went down a whole Family Ties wormhole. And
was the episode with Tom Hanks as the uncle?
Oh, you bet.
Yeah,
that was the exact episode where he's like
he's drinking fucking
like vanilla extract.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, and then they're like trying to get him to go to rehab, and like the whole family's in the room, and he just like fucking smacks Alex right into the fireplace.
Yeah. And he wasn't even that old. Like, it's weird that he's his uncle.
And he was like at the end of the episode, I think they say, like, God damn it, like, you're 29 years old. Like, stop it. It's like.
Doesn't he make a funny call to AA? Doesn't he, like, do a sticky phone call at the end?
Yeah, he gives him, like, a fake thing, like, we're going to pick up some women, yeah. We're all anonymous. And then, like, he looks back at the family and they're like.
And it's like, credits, we fixed it. We did it. And we never see you again.
But, like, that was a weird case because he was already, like, in the storyline, that character was, like, almost going to be, like, the partner of a big company. It's like, what the... Some weird. Kind of crazy life
I was live. Never into that show when I was younger. I certainly watched a fuck ton of it.
Yeah.
But I watched a fuck ton of a lot of things I didn't like. I've probably seen every episode of Fresh Prince, and I don't think I ever liked it. It was just on. I turned on the TV, and that was one of the fucking three choices.
And now, apparently, according to BuzzFeed and Facebook, we're all supposed to be wistful about that one episode where he cries with Uncle Phil.
Yeah.
I see that at least, like, realistically once every 2 weeks.
Really?
Like, someone posts that video, and it's got, like, the captions on it, like, you, like, remember when Will Smith, like, made you cry, and blah, blah, and remember when Will Smith... wasn't really acting because he was really thinking about his own deadbeat dad and like
is that
no that's the... not true at all.
Oh,
do you know what clip I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know what clip you're talking about.
It's like, why don't you love me anymore?
Well, since we're on this, I saw the new Aladdin.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What's the verdict?
All right, it's 2 hours and 6 minutes, and the original one was a nice tight 90.
Okay.
So it feels overbloated. It's okay, it's directed by Guy Ritchie, who I don't dislike.
Yeah.
I even liked Swept Away. It's not like the thing that Jon Favreau did with Jungle Book and is doing with Lion King. Mm. It's much more like, yes, we're live action, but we're not going for verisimilitude.
Okay.
It actually feels more like a Bollywood movie because there's a lot of dancing, very lots of colors. It's very, very vibrant. It's very, very youthful. Everyone is beautiful. It really had that Bollywood mm-hmm. feel. The guy who plays Aladdin is a really good singer, and mm-hmm. he's kind of charming. Naomi Scott plays Jasmine. She was the pink Power Ranger in the new Power Rangers. Okay. She's great, and they give her new songs. They make her character much better.
Okay.
Because now her character is like, she wants to be the Sultan, and why can't I be the Sultan just because I'm a girl? Mm. And it's much more, she's much more active as a character. She has more agency, and she wants to be the ruler.
Sounds like Reddit's going to be up.
Sounds like some roar. Sounds like some SJW nonsense to me.
Oh, shit.
But she sings this great song, Speechless, which is good. It was fun. It was fun. It was...
Okay.
It didn't change my life. Will Smith was not great. First of all, he likes sing raps. Have you heard any of his songs?
A little bit. But does he... Because there was something that was basically prophesized a couple years ago. So we did an episode of the special where it was the special presents Disney's Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically like a super bootleg version of Aladdin.
Yeah.
Of like shitty green screens and like people who shouldn't be playing the characters.
Yeah.
But the genie character was based on this very specific performance of the genie that I think is in the Broadway show or in like a theme park
mm-hmm.
where the genie basically is treated like a pop culture MC where like they come out and they sing the songs, but then they're also like quipping to the audience about like whatever's in the news that week. Or, like pop culture things.
No.
And I suspected that like this new genie would take a cue from like this shitty genie.
No, it really is just sort of like, let's ape as much from the Robin Williams performance as we can.
Oh,
but less good. And also you can do less because it's not animated.
Yeah.
And his singing's not very good. You think they'd make more of it like kind of rapping, but they don't. It's a lot of him just kind of like talk singing. During the credits, there is like some Aladdin song with DJ Khaled.
What?
Yeah. So Guy Fieri got a star on the Walk of Fame.
Matthew McConaughey was there.
Are they buddies?
Maybe.
That makes sense to me.
My favorite Guy Fieri thing this week, though, is there's a meme.
Just this week.
There's a meme going around. It's probably 10 years old, but I don't care. Where it's someone photoshopped him with this, like, concerned look on his face, mm-hmm. and he's holding a giant hot dog, like, this big. And the caption is just like, please, you need to help my son right away. Like,
what? That's pretty fun.
It's just the image though. Like, I have to send it to you. It's great. Like, this guy's totally a giant hot dog.
You have to help my son. Oh god, that's good stuff.
So, do we like Guy Fieri as a society? Like, what's the verdict on him?
I don't know.
I feel like for a while people like didn't like him. Bag. But then I feel like people came around to him and were like, why are we making fun of this guy? Like, he just wants people to eat. Did he do
something homophobic or something?
No, that was just a rumor. Okay. I don't know if it was confirmed or not. Oh, no, it was debunked because I think, like, several people came out and said, like, no, he's officiated, like, my gay wedding and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But the rumor had been that, like, he had eaten at, like, one of the diners, drive-ins, or dives.
And
it was owned by a same-sex couple and that he, like, spit the food out or something, or like vomited. Yeah.
I guess people just make fun of him because he's an easy target.
Yeah, I mean, when you're driving around in the Guy Fieri mobile and you got the fucking hair and the...
Yeah, yeah.
The shirts and...
Yeah.
But then I guess, like, people look at other chefs now and it's like, well, Guy Fieri's not that bad. He's no Mario Batali.
No.
Like, being creepy and wearing Crocs and...
Yeah. On that note, let's take a break. Welcome back to PCMC. This podcast is available anywhere podcasts can be found. Stitcher, Apple Podcast, Google Play, Spotify, anywhere, baby. We're there. We got a lot of episodes. We're in the 80s now.
Ooh.
Been around a long time.
Longer. I love the 80s.
I've been saving this as a surprise, but the next five guests are Hal Sparks.
Oh, Michael Ian Black.
Michael Ian Black.
Who else is in that?
The guy from Anthrax for some reason.
For TV, VH1 TV personality Ant.
Yeah, Ant. Remember Ant?
He was like everywhere for like a good 5 years.
He hosted Celebrity Fit Club.
Yeah.
Remember that shit?
Yeah, remember fucking Dustin Diamond was on that show and he just like fat shamed everyone?
Yeah, and you had fucking Bam Margera's dad, Phil, was on there.
And now Bam Margera just looks like Phil Margera.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens, man, when the party ends.
Well, the day Ryan Dunn died, it's when the party ended.
Oh, God. What a down note, Finn. You brought us all the way down. Let me bring
all the Ryan Dunn fans out there.
I got to bring us back up. This is Obsessions. This is where we talk about what we're currently obsessed with or what's currently on our mind, what currently we would recommend to people.
Ooh.
I believe last time I asked you what's in your DVD player.
What's in your Betamax?
Yeah.
What do you want on your tombstone?
What's your current obsession?
I will actually defer, as I mentioned before, that I work on a show called The Special.
Mm-hmm.
That just ended this week. So I would recommend people
But a great run.
Great run, 170 episodes.
On public access TV.
Public access TV.
But also available online.
But also available online. It's going to be interesting. Like, I truly think it's going to stand up there like 5 years from now, 10 years from now. People are going to be like, what was this weird thing that was on like public access?
And that was the show that took the time slot of the original Chris Gethard show?
Yes.
Okay.
And Chris Gethard's actually coming back. But yeah, in the same vein of shows like Midnight Blue and Glenn O'Brien's TV Party, mm-hmm. and Squirt TV, but the great Jake Fogelness.
Uh-huh.
Like all these weird like Manhattan... Like, Manhattan Public Access has a weird history.
I don't know anything about it.
It's basically by default because it's the biggest market.
Sure.
Like, if you have a public access show in, like, Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Right. But you're public access in one of the biggest metropolitan cities.
You have access to a TV channel in the biggest city in America.
Right. And you've got so much talent.
Right. And you're just like, it's like such a weird grab bag.
Yeah.
Like you, because like you look at this show, you look at like Chris Gethard before it.
Yeah.
And it had these like weird cult followings.
Yeah.
But then also like there's other shows on the network that are just like local political discourse shows or like.
Right.
Call in and make a chess move with me.
Yeah.
Like these kinds of weird shows that like Howard Stern used to prank call.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, I think it's going to stand the test of time. Not to get too high about it, but sure. A lot of comedians have come. We're all proud of it because.
Did you work on every episode?
No, basically for the past 2 years I worked on it.
So how many episodes are there?
There's 170.
How many have you done?
Let's say around like 65.
Oh, wow.
Something like that.
Wow. And you were writing staff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Helping punch up a lot of the episodes.
You're a good. If I can toot your horn for a second, you're a good joke man.
Yeah,
and I've worked on sporadic things throughout the years, and you're always a good guy to have the room to throw a fucking joke.
No,
at.
I've always, that's the one thing I will say about myself is like, if you corner me right now and go like, write a script, I'll be like, oh, maybe I have an idea. But like, if you hand me an outline, like I'll just fill it full of stuff. I'll just punch it up.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of what I did. Like there were some weeks where. Like, I would be very proud to get a lot of stuff in.
Yeah.
And this last episode was really fun, and that'll be up on YouTube probably within the next week. We've had, like, sort of a running theme going the mm-hmm. past couple episodes where, like, the end of the world is happening.
Yeah.
So this episode, the end of the world finally happens, and we tie in a lot of characters. Like, basically anyone who had a recurring character.
So this was your Avengers Endgame of the special.
Kind of, although we did have an Avengers Endgame episode this season.
Sure.
My phone won't turn on. I was just going to show you a picture, but they can't see it anyway. I sent it to you before, I think, of just like how many people were in the, like everyone in that photo that I sent you was basically in the episode.
Yes, you did. Yeah, you sent a lot of cool people.
Yeah, a lot of cool people. Tom Sharpling was there.
Tom Sharpling's a big, you know, he's a big guy in comedy, big guy in radio. Right now, I think he's writing What We Do in the Shadows, the TV series.
Yeah, he was there. He had to have been there, because without Tom Sharpling, like, you wouldn't have had this show.
Oh, really?
Because basically, Brett Davis, the person who, like, created the show and hosts it, he got his start, I'm using air quotes, calling into the best show, like, 15 years ago as, like, a teenager.
Really?
And Tom wouldn't let him on the air because he would just do these, like, stupid impressions. And then eventually Tom was like, why do you keep calling? And then he realized, like, hey, this kid's, like, pretty funny. So then eventually he, like, had him in studio and, like, he just started, like, doing comedy from there.
Wow.
And would do, like, a lot of public access stuff. Like, got was doing, like, a show called New York Noise where he would interview, like, different musicians around New York City. And then just, like, got into the comedy scene. And it's a lot of people who work on the show, like, haven't gone through, like, the sort of, like, UCB system.
Sure.
Which is something I've always admired about the special and, like, what we do. Because
it's not one of these selected pedigrees.
Yeah, like a lot of, like, it's fine if a lot of people, like, go through that system.
Yeah.
But also, like me and a friend of mine who work on the show, we always joke about, like, hey, you gonna pay $200 for that crowd work class? Like, because it's a lot of, you know, a lot of these places, like them, the Pit, like,
yeah,
it's a lot of, like, hey, pay $200 for this class and take the level 2, like, you know, joke writing class, blah, blah, blah. I think the attitude of the special as compared to something like the Chris Gethard show was it was a little more like punk rock in a way, a little more like messy and like a little more like weird and like on the edge.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And so, like, I don't know. Like, I just always liked that it was weird. Like, we've had Lloyd Kaufman on the show.
Lloyd, like, Kaufman, of Trauma fame.
Yeah. Of Trauma.
Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
All of those
Shakespeare
movies.
Shitstorm. All those great movies.
Yeah.
Like we would just do like weird ideas. Like, we had Lloyd Kaufman on.
He's in Guardians of the Galaxy too, right? Yep. Yeah.
Always
bow tie.
Always a bow tie, but always when he was on the show, he was like, you know, Trauma actually kind of invented the cinematic universe when you think about it, because, you know, Sergeant Kabuki Man, you know, Toxic Avenger shows up in Sergeant Kabuki Man.
He's not wrong.
Although, no, he's not wrong, but it's not.
I'd say Universal Studios did it with the Dracula monsters. And monsters.
Yeah,
but.
But we would have Lloyd Kaufman on an episode where we had, like, raving street lunatics in like, road warrior outfits, like, beating the shit out of each other. Or there was an episode before I started working on the show that, like, there's a couple episodes I really wish I would have, like, been a part of, and this is maybe one of them. There was, like, 3-week arc where Brett loses the show. Uh-huh. And it gets taken over by former MTV VJ Jesse Camp.
Okay.
And so there's a whole episode called The Special of Jesse Camp. And Jesse Camp invites all his friends, his weirdo, like, club friends.
Did someone play Jesse Camp?
No. Jesse Camp.
You got the real Jesse Camp?
Yeah. They got the real Jesse Camp.
Funny.
And they basically almost got the show shut down.
Really?
Because Jesse Camp brought, like, 1 million people to his studio, including, I don't know if you may be familiar with this person, if you've seen the movie Party Monster. Convicted murderer Michael Alec.
What?
Was there.
That's the one Macaulay Culkin plays.
Yes.
So that guy was there. And he's friends with Jesse Camp?
Yeah. And when Brett shows up at the end of the episode, he actually, like, calls him out for being a murderer. And I was like, what was that like? And he's like, It was what it was. He is a murderer.
Wow.
Like, like, that's crazy. And they were like starting fires, and, like, people were doing, like, coke, and it was like a domination.
Would you do it live? Would it go out live?
Oh, yeah, it goes out live. It went out live every Wednesday.
So, did you ever fuck up, like,
Oh, there were fuck ups all the time.
Okay.
A lot of times it would just be, like, a good example would be, we did an Andre the Giant episode where Andre the Giant comes back to Earth for one day to host a talk show. And we built this giant, like, table, basically, like, stacking, like, 3 solid tables on top of each other. And then, like, 2 more that Brett could sit on in his Andre the Giant costume to look gigantic. And whenever he would shake hands with someone, they would have to, like, say, do something to, like, cut it in post.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, in post, like, when the episode's on YouTube, you see Andre the Giant shake someone's hand, and that person's hand is just a doll hand, because Andre is so big.
Uh-huh.
And, like, he would have these, like, tiny soda cans that he would, like, throw throughout the episode.
That's really funny.
And that was the episode we had Box Brown on, who did the Andre the Giant graphic novel.
Oh, cool.
And that was really fun. So there's a lot of like interesting episodes. Like this season, the week of WrestleMania, we did one of our, because we're all on, like a lot of us on staff are like big wrestling marks.
Uh-huh.
So we did Special Mania. And that was,
that joke writes itself.
Yeah. And we had, this is going to mean nothing to you, but we had like a WWE superstar Lita.
Okay.
Ring of Honor star Dalton Castle. We had Dave Meltzer. We had Buff Bagwell from WCW was supposed to show up, but he his like plane didn't work out.
Sure, okay.
But we had like all these wrestlers, and like one of the wrestlers like was gonna like beat the shit out of someone. Like people have gone through tables on the show. People have been. There was an episode where it was called The Special Goes Extreme, where it was like, the ratings are down, like, we gotta get hip with the kids, like, we gotta get extreme.
Uh-huh.
And we had, a carny guy come in, and, like, Brett's laying on the floor, and the guy's, like, flipping knives above his head, and, like, lighting shit on fire and stuff. It was just, like, we get away, like, we got away with a lot.
Wow. Why did it end?
Just because, I think, like, creative burnout. I think it's like 170 episodes
of coming up with a new concept every week.
And also just this idea of like, oh, you want to work on something? Well, we have a show this week.
Right.
Or like, I'm busy this week, but a lot of us are busy this week, but we still have a show to put on.
Right.
And like those especially would be the weeks that like other people might have to pick up the slack in like different departments.
Yeah.
Like, people are always shocked when they would come to see an episode and be like, wow, this is, like, an actual production.
Yeah.
People are getting makeup done and, like, costumes and...
Wow.
Like, it's really... Like, go check out the YouTube channel. Like, just look up the special of Fat Brett Davis on YouTube. And, like, you'll see some really interesting things. I would recommend they did every year around Christmas time, we do an episode called True for Myth with Smith, which is basically, like, a take on... really bad public access like conspiracy shows. And that's just like such a fun grab bag in terms of the production.
Yeah,
because if you watch it, it's like weird effects, like audio dipping in out and like peaking, and just like weird like public act, like it's so spot on.
Wow.
Like like this year there was like a whole 1 minute where in the middle of the screen in like a tiny like thumbnail box was a YouTube video playing of like a 9/11 conspiracy video, and like we would and like they would just like hide stuff like that in like images and just like do weird shit, and like the call and like we would have planted callers,
sure,
and real callers too, just like asking like what the fuck is going on.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it was really fun. Like one of the running plants that we have when we would do True for Myth episodes is there's a character on the show called Big Baby, which we always joke about because the video of Big Baby, it's just a big fat guy in a baby outfit.
Yeah.
It doesn't go any more than that. But we would bring him out every once in a while because originally when they put the clip of the Big Baby episode that he's in originally on YouTube, it got like 200,000 hits or something. Mm-hmm. And they traced the traffic back and it was like man baby fetishists.
Oh, wow.
Like the people who's like kink that
they
was.
They backtraced it.
Yeah, they backtraced it. So like now we just joke about it. So like we would get these planted callers. We'd be like, caller, you're on the air. And like, yeah, I want to talk about yeah, caller, what you want to talk about? He's like, you guys are talking about the Wi-Fi and yeah, caller. Like, give me that big baby. Yeah, I want my big baby back. And then like 30 seconds go by and you realize the guy's still on the air. And you just hear, I want my baby back, baby. And it's just like weird shit like that.
That's fun.
Like little moments that I just love.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So go check that out. It was 170 episodes. Who knows what'll happen next? I'm working on some projects.
Awesome.
So those will be
check that stuff out. You've got a lot of episodes to look at.
Yeah.
My current obsession is not something I worked on, but a movie that's in theaters right now that I would like you to go see.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Booksmart. It is directed by Olivia Wilde. Mm-hmm. It is written by Susanna Fogel, Emily Halpern, Sarah Haskins, and Kate Silberman, all four women.
Now, the big thing, the brouhaha with this movie right now, from what I'm seeing, that has nothing to do with the plot, nothing to do with the content, is that people are saying, I can't believe this movie only made $8 million.
Yeah.
And I don't quite get like what the deal is. Like, yeah,
well,
like
it I, opened like, up opposite of the Aladdin remake.
Yeah, like I like $8 million sounds about right for like a small independent.
I don't know. It's like I don't even know. Everything's gotten so fucked up. I don't even think expectations are in the right place. Because I've been reading things about like this is such a great movie. Why aren't people seeing it? And it's like,
well, they'll well, see how it many a year from now on TV,
it? Right? Like, it's not going to get fucking Avengers numbers. But yeah. Are we at a place where you can't do that?
Right. Like, be happy the movie got made.
Yeah.
Like, you can enjoy this movie.
I saw it twice, and I absolutely adored it. I loved it. I remember when I was watching it, I had this feeling, and this is such a weird comparison because it's nothing like this, but I hadn't had that feeling of, like, this is a youth touchstone since I saw, going back, I saw the first American Pie in movie theaters.
Really?
I remember seeing the first American Pie and it being hilarious and everyone being like, we're all going to quote all this. We're gonna keep making this movie for 20 years. Now, it's nothing like American Pie, really, in that American Pie has a lot of...
It's crude. It's fucking a pie.
It's got a lot of toxicity in it where... This movie is... it's very progressive, but I almost don't want to say that because that makes it sound like it's got a message... And it's not. It's trying to be funny. That's all it's trying to be.
Would it be comparable to something? Because I haven't seen any of it. Would it be comparable to something like Broad City? Which is something that I think really captured.
People have been saying no because they're younger.
Okay.
So people have been saying it is a little like a gender swapped Superbad. But I don't even think that's fair because I don't really like Superbad that much. And I think the reason for that is because one of the stars of this movie is Beanie Feldstein, and she's the younger sister of Jonah Hill. So people are like, it's like it's really
her
not
turn now, like.
Right. It is about these two girls that are both very liberal. They both want to have one girl, Molly. She's kind of the ringleader. She wants to be on the Supreme Court one day. Then you've got Amy, who's played by Caitlin Dever. Who I think was on Last Man Standing, ironically. And she is gay, but she's never kissed anybody. And she's kind of like the more introverted of the two. But they're like super close friends and they do everything together. And they're going to really good schools. And they find out, and they sort of think they're above everybody. But then they find out on the last day of high school that all of the other people are going to good schools too. And they were like, why did we not have social lives?
Yeah.
And everyone else also got into good schools. So they decide, we're going to go out and have fun. Whereas if it were a boy movie, it would be, we're going to go out and get laid.
I was just going to say, it'd be like, we're going to go out and get laid.
Yeah, we're going to go out and have fun. One movie recently that's a little bit like this, but not nearly as good as Cock Blockers. Because that was about female friends. And
that
a young
was
movie.
Like way more sweet than the title implied.
Oh, yeah. That was actually a very cute movie. This movie it's brilliantly directed. It's brilliantly acted. It's got the kind of script where you feel like the original writer, whoever that was, like really lived with the characters and like. There are so many like little details, like little things, like even watching the second time, it felt like it's not a realistic world because it's a comedy, but it's a super realized world. It's actualized world. The production design is amazing. You know, everywhere you look, there are signs. Like one of the girls on her bedroom door says, "A room of one's own," which is like a classic feminist reference, and. It's very cute. There's just so many fun bits in it. It's very funny. There's this bit that I really like that they do is when they get dressed to go out, they look at each other and they go, no, this is not right. You are too beautiful. And like they do this back and forth. It's like a bit they do, which is really funny, but it's also cute because it's like they're building each other up.
Yeah.
They're not enemies with one another. And even like, you know, you've got the typical high school movie archetypes. Like jock or dumb girl or slutty girl, but they all end up being deeper than that. Like the so-called slutty girl, her character's name is AAA because she gives roadside service.
Oh, wow.
And in the end of the movie, AAA is like, I enjoy giving blowjobs. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Like, she's very sex positive. Like, why? And she goes, you know what really bothers me is the girls call me that too, not just the guys.
Mm.
And it's like, and the girl Molly realizes, like, wow, like, I was part of this. Like, why was I shaming her? It's really gorgeous. Without giving anything away, there's a scene where the two characters argue, which you know is going to happen, of course, when it's a best friend movie. And it's this handheld close-up where it's the profile of both their faces. And you can see the background, but there's no depth of field. It's all out of focus because they're at a party. And they start yelling at each other louder, and they're getting louder and louder. And you see just – you see the shapes of the background stop moving. Mm-hmm. And then you start to see lights because people are recording on their phone. But it's it's all happening slowly and subtly. And then the sound sort of drops off and you just see their faces as they're arguing with each other.
Yeah.
It's just really, really so great. The director, Olivia Wilde, who was an actress – they're making an Eleanor and Park movie. She and I had said I should be the director of it, but my new thing is I think Olivia Wilde should be the director of the Eleanor and Park movie, because she gets these young people, she gets these characters, and I'm so glad we have moved beyond the sort of John Hughes rape is funny nonsense of the 80s.
Yeah,
but it's also like this is not it's not an inversion of it. It's not like.
No, it's like the next step.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a pastiche of it or a parody of it. It's like a it's the next step of it. The next evolution of it. It also feels a lot like American Graffiti or Dazed and Confused. Mm. There's even a character who wears this sort of Western jacket that I think is an homage to Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused. It's really great. Go and see it. Let's give it some money.
And it turns out the party they go to in the movie is at Mama's.
It's funny that you say that, because one of the girls in the movie is one of the stars of Ma's House.
Ah.
So that's it. So Booksmart, this has been PCMC. I'm Mike Mongiorno. I was joined today by Vin Forte. Vin, where can the people check you out?
On the Twitter, at Mighty Vin.
And where can they check out the special?
Go to YouTube, look up the special Without Brett Davis.
Brett Davis?
Without.
Okay.
Not with.
Without.
Without.
Is Brett two T's?
Yes.
Okay. And you can, and Vin's on the show every month, so Vin.
Yeah, you'll hear me.
You'll hear
again.
From Vin again.
I may pop up on Emilio's podcast. I go on you Wrestle Rap every once in a while.
Yeah, come on. This is Pop Culture Man Children. This podcast is available everywhere podcasts can be found. And if you're a new listener, welcome. Thanks for listening. I hope you liked it. I always say if this were not my podcast, it would be my favorite podcast. You know, that's my ideology when it comes to making something. You know what I mean? I'm not thinking of any audience other than like me. Like, this is the show that I would want to listen to. So this is the show that I make.
Yeah.
And if you've been listening, and you thank you for listening, keep listening, hit me up on Instagram at PopCultureManChildren. Use the hashtag PCMCPod. And as we end every show,
unwrap every day like a precious gift.
Nope. Go bye-bye.